morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it as always. Good morning to you, Randy. How are
What's happening, man? Yeah, all good over on this side of the table thing.
Yeah, desk.
Desktop, whatever we want to call it. Yeah, I'm all good over here, man, as we get ready halfway through the weekend, get ready for, like, we're just talking to Z and Sandra. Big sports weekend, college football. I'm not of the mindset of the elimination as far as Alabama or if Georgia loses elimination. I'm not there yet. I think it'd have to be three losses by, especially you look at Georgia. In fact, if Clemson goes on to win the ACC, you got that mm-hmm. one burden, all those, and they're still one of the better teams in the schedule, all those things. So I'm not ready to go elimination.
No, neither am I.
Not going to do that.
This is the first time we've done 12-team playoff, but it's not the first time we've done sports seasons before.
Yeah.
Crazy things happen.
Yeah, they do.
Right?
They do, man.
There's going to be some wild stuff that happens in November that's unforeseen. No one thought Alabama was going to lose to Vanderbilt, and they did. No one thought, some people might have thought, but Ole Miss lost to Kentucky and then lost another one. Like they're two losses already. It's not even Halloween yet. They were some people's pick to come out of the SEC. So you got to play the games.
Yeah. that's the best part about it.
It is the best part about it. It's fun to discuss for sure. And I love what we do Monday through Friday. But the best part about it is what happened on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
And Monday night and Thursday night. You know what I mean?
All that football stuff.
The actual games are the most fun part of it because it's so unpredictable. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess we're kind of getting near the midway point of the college football season to where we can check in a little bit on if things feel different or if people are treating it different or if it's different for you at all with the 12-team playoff. I haven't noticed a difference yet.
Right.
Like, the games have been great. The games against really good teams, Alabama and Georgia, was incredible.
Yes.
Oregon and Ohio State was incredible. I didn't see either one of those teams like less invested in the fourth quarter because they might still get in the playoff if they lose.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And that was always my argument for expansion is like, well, the players aren't going to try less hard.
No.
You know?
And that was,
the games are still going to be competitive.
And that was
and
always my thing when people were like, well, these games don't matter. Well,
which is all that matters.
Yeah.
It matters.
Nobody wants to lose.
You can say that on your podcast or on the radio or TV or whatever, but did you? I mean, it mattered to Will Howard.
Yeah, sure did.
He didn't slide late because they're going to the playoff anyway.
No.
It was an intense moment, and he kind of crumbled in it.
Yep.
And then maybe he'll learn from it. And next time he's in an intense moment, he'll do better. Like I just maybe as the season goes on, if there's teams that have zero losses or one losses in November, and you're in the conference championship, maybe teams will treat those games differently. Maybe. I don't think so because there's still buys on the line, and
yes,
it's a football game. And football players are wired to try hard when they're out there playing football. Am I right on that one?
You're absolutely right. There's a team up there in Athens, Georgia, that's about to hit the practice field that ain't thinking about, well, if we lose, we're still in it.
No. If anyone's thinking that, then they've got to go.
Yeah, you got to go. You can't have that mentality. Well, one of my favorite gifts, whatever it means, whatever you call it, is the one with Alonzo Mourning. When he's on the bench, I'm like, yeah. He's frowning, and he's like.
Alonzo goes through the whole gamut of emotions about 5 seconds.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my favorite one. This ain't my thought process around college football now. And so it's going to be an exciting weekend. It's always, and I know that we talk, Georgia, Texas is the big one. But I know that growing up here and learning more and more about other universities, Tennessee-Alabama
yep.
is like a big-time rival.
Third Saturday in October.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a big-time rival.
It's a huge
game. They got cigars and all this other stuff, and it's good now that Tennessee is as good as they are, and so it should be a very, very, very good game. And I know that it's going to be crazy up there in Knoxville. They're in Knoxville, right?
Yep.
Okay, it's going to be crazy up there in Knoxville this weekend and everything like that. But I mean, you look at the different matchups. Like, who would have thought? And I think Oregon is very, very good.
I do too.
I think they are one of those teams where they could have lost that game. You know, it could have come down so many different ways. And that's the best thing about it is you see this just like, well, damn, if that didn't go right. That's why I said I don't drop Ohio State too far behind it. I can't do that, because I saw what Ohio State does. And obviously, the mistakes and the push off from the young young receiver.
On the road.
All those
crazy environment.
Would it be different over there in Columbus?
Probably.
Probably.
Yeah,
Because you don't know. Because last time Oregon went to
– They went in there and beat them.
Without – Thibodeau didn't play that game, remember?
Yeah, he was hurt.
Yeah,
Thibodeau was hurt that game.
So, yeah.
Ryan Day's lost 5 regular season games in his entire tenure at Ohio State. They're all to Michigan and Oregon.
Yeah. Damn, that's crazy.
Those are good teams.
That's
those
crazy, are good teams. Though. Those are good and, teams. But that's what I'm saying.
Now, he's lost postseason games,
but that's what I'm saying. As talented as Ohio State is, that's what it's going to take to beat those teams. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to – like, I mean, I know we know Alabama just lost to Vanderbilt and everything. But for the most part, those top teams are going to only lose to top teams.
I think that's right.
You know what I mean? Sometimes in Vanderbilt, they're a different team and all those different things. They're playing better, got a nice quarterback, got a nice culture that they're trying to build. But a lot of times, those teams, those top teams only lose to each other.
I do love that Vanderbilt followed up that Alabama win by beating Kentucky, yes. though. Because yes. it would have been really easy yes. to yes. just celebrate that yes. win, and that's the Super Bowl for the season.
Right.
That Diego Pavio is a good quarterback.
Yeah,
man.
He's from what, New Mexico State or something.
Yeah, he
right?
transferred from down there. Yeah. And look, they're not going to be a playoff team, but that's all right. They got four wins, man.
Hell yeah.
Nobody thought they were going to. They got two SEC wins. They had zero SEC wins last year.
Yeah.
No, but I'm with you. I think the games between those types of teams, and I don't know how many of those types of teams there are. Say there's five, say there's 10. I don't know. It's up to you to decide how many of like legitimate contenders in college football there are this year. But when they play each other, it's been incredible.
Yes.
And I think that that's going to continue to be true. I think you're going to see that, like you just mentioned, at 3:30 in yes. Neyland Stadium
yes.
between Alabama and Tennessee. The crazy thing about that one is it's Tennessee's defense that might be the best unit in that entire
it's crazy,
game.
Right? Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not Alabama's offense, not Alabama's defense, not Tennessee's offense. It might be that Tennessee defense. Tennessee's defense is the best unit in that entire
yes.
game. I think Texas and Georgia is going to be an incredible game
yes.
on Saturday
yes.
night. And that's seven straight hours of
yeah, man.
SEC football
yeah.
that's going to have you glued to your television. Which is like, and I'm not trying to like, post-show argue with Mark Zeno, he's not in here, but like, what of that is not great? You know what I mean?
Nothing.
Like, it's all great.
Everything.
I don't know how it could be greater than what it is. Like, those games are just going to be and there's other good games this weekend too. The best game is that Washington doesn't have to play. That's the best game of the whole weekend, is that Washington plays BYE, so we don't have to watch that mess. But LSU Arkansas, I
think, yes.
kind of a sneaky,
you know,
great
and that's,
game.
And you know, Arkansas, they're one of them, they are like on this upset. And going back to what you said about Vanderbilt, I mean, you're coming off a epic game
yeah.
from LSU in that atmosphere and everything like that, and then you're going to Arkansas, which is like sneaky, and they got an offense that can go
yeah.
and a quarterback that
yeah.
can go. And so, I mean, if you're LSU, you better come in with your mind, right? You
mm-hmm.
know, because we've seen how much better this Arkansas team has been, you know, with the offensive change, with the new quarterback that can do so many different things.
What offensive change would you be speaking of?
Well, the guy who calls plays.
Who's that?
The guy who calls plays. You know, the guy, if you Google his name, the first picture that'll come up is a man that like somebody whipped his ass with a neck roll.
He
did get his ass whipped. The asphalt beat him up.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, the asphalt beat him down.
Yeah, the asphalt, and also just that he had it coming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, one of the things where you sit back like,
I think the devil got him.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Okay.
He was riding a motorcycle with his mistress that he was paying off of school funds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was after he walked out of the Falcons
yeah,
locker
that,
room.
That, you know what? That damn pebble, it just happened to just roll out of under his tire.
Yeah, that acorn just happened to be there.
It just happened. You know, most of the time you run right over and
not
but this
day.
Time it got you.
Not that day.
That one in 1 million time.
What would he have to do in life in order for that not to be the first thing that pops up on search?
Nothing.
Is it possible?
Well, I think let's just call it like this. The Florida job comes open.
Okay.
He gets the
he
job.
He gets it.
And he
wins back-to-back-to-back
championship. That might take it off.
Maybe.
And the thing about it is, as raggedy of a person as he is, like, he's qualified, if you want to talk about being just a football coach, don't Google the neck roll, nothing like that. He's qualified to coach at Florida.
He's won a lot of games.
You know what I mean? The dude can coach his ass off, man. But it's everything that comes with it. You know, it's just everything that comes with it.
We're really going to, like, that's not unreasonable to think that that's what happens. Like, we're really going to have an SEC where Hugh Freeze is right back in it,
yep.
coaching at Auburn.
I mean,
Bobby Petrino's right back in it.
I mean, they
it.
Both were bad things, but they were, what's worse? With Hugh Freeze, Colin Hooker's on the company phone, or what Petrino did?
It's a good question. I don't know. I think Petrino.
Yeah, I mean, Petrino was a dirtbag.
Yeah.
I mean,
they were both cheating on their wives.
Yeah.
I guess Petrino was doing it with. It wasn't with a prostitute.
Yeah, was he cheating or was he like, you know, on the line and she's like, tell me what you got on, daddy, and he was like, yeah, I got on coaching shorts and some in a
polo. I think he was setting up massages.
He was setting up massages. But did he actually get rubbed on?
Great question.
Yeah,
don't
that's
know.
What I'm saying. Was he freeze like doing the?
I hope so.
Like, this is candy.
To lose the job, I hope you at least got the. You know what,
you
mean?
Know what I mean? Like I ain't like what Denzel say. I'm leaving him with something.
Gotta
you
have
know
something.
Mean? Yeah, I ain't gonna pack up my office.
I got fired just for almost.
Because that's the thing about it. I don't know if him and his lady are still together, but doubt you. Every time that damn phone ring, her ears gonna perk up.
Who's that?
Who's that?
Who's texting?
Yeah, who's that? Who's that? I'm like, you don't want them damn problems in your life.
No,
you know, you don't want them problems.
No, you don't.
Hey, Susie, who's Susie? She's my assistant. Yeah, you don't want them damn problems. Yeah, your coach.
And he's got a whole different slate of problems on his hands right now with how bad his football team is. But
yeah.
Bobby Petrino's got it rolling on offense at Arkansas. Yeah, that's a fun one. This is a lot of fun ones. So many good ones this weekend, man. I think Miami-Louisville is kind of interesting. That's up there. I know Louisville's lost a couple games, but still that offense is pretty fun. Let's kind of scrolling through. Indiana-Nebraska, only one loss between the two of them.
Yeah, man. It's some good. It's
and
some
it
good
ain't
ball.
Indiana.
It's some good ball. who beat Nebraska? Wisconsin?
Oh. Hang on.
Oh, my God. Was it Wisconsin?
Illinois.
Yeah. Illinois beat them. That's
Illinois.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
That was the game we talked about because like, we don't know which Illinois team is going to show up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. That's when the old boy picked off rail in the damn end zone. Smooth pick.
All right. We'll come back. We'll get into what's trending here on a hump day Wednesday. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Josh, I don't know, man. You know, we went out last week and they gave us passing and we threw the ball a bunch, you know, and this week we got out and we got a chance to establish the run and we went out and did it. We did it with a nice 1-2 punch with Tyler and Bijan. You know, the O-line really took a lot of credit, took a lot of path in that, and Drake London, you know, being that sixth O-lineman, so to speak, and what he's able to do in the run game and all those guys going out there and blocking. I think we just kind of take what they're giving us right now and the guys are going out there and doing it. And we got enough people in all areas. You know, Terry did a great job of just putting people around, right? Woods, I'm sure I'm going to look at the stat sheet and you guys will be asking me about somebody being more involved. And that's just always going to be the case when you got that many good players. You got Bijan, Tyler Algier, you got Kyle Pitts, you have Mooney, you got Drake London. You know, somebody's going to hope, you know, get left out in these type of wins. And that's the type of team we have, and that's the type of stuff I'm proud of.
Yeah, it happens. It does. Not everybody's going to get the same. Now, unless you're just that guy. You know, you're just that number one alpha receiver. You know what I mean? Like, other than that, I mean,
right?
It's going to be games where more guys get more looks and everything. And I think the biggest thing about this team and getting to talk to some of those players who catch the ball and run with the football, they all know that. You know what I mean? They know that. But there are certain times and certain places of the game where I got to get this guy to football. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, this team has to – Bijan has to touch the football. Mm-hmm. Just like everybody else, but more or less because he's a running back and they want to run the football and all those different things. But
he will find that those questions will be less frequent and, like, less pointed if they score 36 and 38 every week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you're kind of struggling and slogging through to get to 20 – and Kyle Pitts doesn't have any touches, right, or Bijan, right, is he touching the ball less, whatever, then you're wondering about it. Not because you're worried so much about the individual and what his role is. You're worried about the offense in general. If the offense is rolling the way that it has the last two games, then it is what it is.
Yeah.
Then it's very easy to just be like, well, we did this because it was working.
Yeah.
When it wasn't working before, then it's like, all right, you're nitpicking, looking for reasons why this guy isn't involved. The other part of it is, and everybody knows this, certain guys are just were expected to be that.
Yeah.
We're expected to be the alpha, throw it to him no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
You get single covered on the outside in the red zone.
Yeah.
Maybe run your route.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like certain guys are just expected to be that. Maybe you change your expectation based on what you've seen from the person.
I don't want to change my expectation.
Yeah.
Damn it. You got to almost cuss. Dog it. You got to do you. I mean, that's just.
But at a certain point.
And again, everybody gets to that certain point. Yeah. I ain't there yet. I'm not at that point because I have expectations, and I believe that if I look at you and look at your physical gifts, that you should be able to get those expectations. That's just how I view. That's just me. That's just, you know, and nothing nobody can say is going to make me. Well, no, that's how I feel about it.
Sure.
Your ass need to get in damn gear because I've seen you do it before, and that's the bad thing about it is I've seen you and I've seen the capability that you have, and when you don't do what I think you should be able to be doing, it irritates the out of me.
Yeah, no, there's nothing more frustrating than someone capable of greatness not being great.
Yes, it irritates the
the hardest thing to do in sports is be consistent, right? Whatever it is, whether you're consistently average, consistently great, whatever it is, like being consistent is really hard and separates people. Being consistently great is such an unusual thing to find, but when you have it in you, it's so frustrating to not be consistent with it because it's in there.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, this
team—it's in there. But again, that's not not the point. The point he was getting at there was being asked about the identity of the offense. And if the identity of the offense is we're going to do whatever you can't stop,
right?
Because we have the run game with these two guys, or we have the pass game with Kirk and all the weapons. Like the Bucs couldn't stop the pass, so they passed for 500 yards.
Right.
The Panthers couldn't stop the run, so they ran for 200 yards and three touchdowns. If that's the identity of the offense, and that's Zach Robinson being like, yeah, I don't care what it is. Mm-hmm. We're just going to do it that day. I love that.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is you want to try to remain as balanced as possible. But as long as – because – you know, the best way to always hamstring an offense is to take something away. You know, sometimes you just can't run the football, but more likely the defense wants to take one thing away from you and make you, you know, just a one-dimensional type football team. And so far these last 2 weeks, when teams have tried to do that, because I don't think they were one-dimensional in Carolina. I just think that was just, you know, it's working, so let's go.
It just worked best.
It just worked best. You know, I do think they were a little bit one-dimensional in Tampa.
They were.
And so I think that, you know, everything strictly goes game to game and things like that as far as the play calling, but when we had Zach on last week, and he was basically, and I love the comments. Like, I have a sheet full of fun plays. I want to call him.
Yeah,
you know, I want to call.
And if we run 80 plays, I can call.
I can call him. You know, I think, and that's what we talk about: them getting more possessions, getting more plays, getting more time of possession, because that gives you an opportunity as a coordinator. You know, because I think a lot of times, you know, defensive coordinator, he wants to be bland. He wants to be able to, you know, not have to send a whole bunch of blitzes and all that other stuff, be able to stop the run with your front four, play the two high safety and all those different things.
A defensive coordinator would love for you to know what he's going to run and have it not
exactly
matter.
They want to have the one little sheet.
Yeah.
They want to have the one little card.
Just,
we got the one little card
run
here.
Run the base.
Yeah, run the base run defense the base. And everything like that. Like, offense, you want to have fun with it. You want to get more creative. You want to do all those different things. And so in the last couple, especially in the last game, I'm talking about offense, they were able to do a lot of that.
No doubt. I'm just kind of glancing at it, and obviously we'll talk more about the Seahawks game with Dave Archer coming up in about 15 minutes, as Arch always joins us on Wednesdays at 11:40. It's kind of part of what worked against the Bucs was because of the fact that the middle of their defense was just decimated. Right. Whatever, you attack what they don't have, and they did.
That's their problem.
The Panthers are not good. No. So they were able to get what they wanted, and they did what they wanted. Having that balanced attack on offense is going to be so vital when you actually come up against a legitimate defense again, and it's going to be a minute. Like, the Seahawks aren't good. Like, you should be able to score a whole bunch of points this weekend. The Bucs, similar situation, I would assume, but unless they get healthy.
They got Wingfield back. You know, they got their best defensive player back.
Cowboys are awful on defense.
But then, like, when you get back to that situation right now, but they don't have their dudes back.
Right, maybe those guys will be
and
back.
And 11, I don't know how far DeMarc D-Law is off, but I'm pretty sure that Micah Parsons is going to be back.
But just kind of glancing down at, like, you go
to – been good with him, so.
You go to Denver on November 17th. Denver's a legitimately – good defense, like one of the five best defenses in the NFL. I mean, obviously you have to take care of business before you get there. Who knows? Guys get hurt and all that kind of stuff. But if you can just exploit a weakness a defense has, great. But there's going to be, especially when the playoffs come around, you're going to have to be able to do both.
Yeah.
And Denver's going to be a game where you're probably going to have to be able to do both.
Denver is... they're okay. They're not good. They're an okay football team.
But their defense is really good.
And that surprises the hell out of me because I was like, they lost everybody, but they're playing well together. We all know Lil Pat is that's gonna be Drake's buddy all day. You know, him and Drake London gonna be hanging out. But I think that, you know, when you look at their schedule going forward, I mean, every game is winnable for them. You know, and I think the biggest thing with them is they got to continue. And we talked about it yesterday because throughout the season, you always are trying to evolve and get better. And the Falcons still are at that point where they still got to get better on offense, still better timing, still better rhythm with a lot of things. And defensively, they're just not there in their front seven being able to be stout and stop the run. And so until they get that fixed, because there's nobody out there that's going to come in and help this run game right now in the season, unless Dexter Lawrence or somebody, one of them want to come. But I'm talking about somebody that's a viable candidate. I don't see that coming. Now, if you get Troy Anderson back, and then because the last time we saw him play his best game as a Falcon, run and pass. You bring him, you put him back in, that helps. Bring a Lamb back, that helps. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you got reinforcements that are already on the roster, but as far as somebody outside, I don't see that. We talked about Hassan Reddick and all these guys. I don't see them making a play for any of those guys.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's fun to dream about.
It's fun to dream about, but I don't see them making a play for anybody like that. But that's when you look at it from – you got to just
– why wouldn't you, though? You know what I mean?
I'm with you.
Like, they went and got Judon. They went and got Simmons. Like, they,
I'm with
I didn't think they were going to get all those guys either, but they got them.
I'm with all that. Why don't they go get them?
Why wouldn't you? What's Reddick even going to cost at this point?
Exactly. Like, I don't know.
That's a
– but the thing about it, it's not about what – because – you got to view the player also. What do you want?
Sure.
You know, what do you want? Because if
you don't want to enter into that same situation.
Yeah, if I'm trading you, if I'm trading for you, I'm not going to say I'm going to give you a new contract.
Right.
All right? The reason he's holding out, I think he would play for the Jets if the Jets came right with the money.
Oh, he'd love to play for the Jets. He would have loved to have played for the Eagles.
Yeah, if they came with it with the bread.
But doesn't it feel like that's in the rearview mirror now?
I would hope so.
I would think
I would think that Drew Rosenhaus
you played it wrong.
And Baylen and I talked to him like, hey, you played it wrong.
Don't blame yourself. Blame the former agency. Yeah,
you're still
it was their fault.
You're still where you are as a player. We'll get you some money this offseason, but you just got to go play.
You got to take the Judon approach. You haven't done anything there yet.
Yeah. Yeah, go play.
Go earn it.
Go play.
I'd love it if he came and earned it here. Dave Archer is going to join us in about 10 minutes. Let's hear from Kirby talking about the Texas defense.
They're the complete package on defense. They're really consistent. Like, there's not, like, they don't give up explosives. They're really good in the red area. They hard to run the ball on. I mean, the consistency you watch them play with, it reminds me of, you know, some of our better teams here, our best teams here. I'm like, man, they're good on D. They're good on O. They're good on special teams. And they're playing at a high level.
They are.
Yep.
That defense has been very good so far. Obviously, the headliners are the quarterbacks and the receivers and all the flashy stuff, but they're rough in that front seven.
Yeah, man.
Now, I think the secondary you might be able to get at a little bit, and I also think they haven't really played an offense that
they have not.
Is capable of testing that level of defense.
They have. I mean, even in the run game.
Right.
Even in the run game, I think, you know, I'm not going to go and say, oh, well, Georgia was sandbagging and all that other crap. They didn't run the ball. They did not run the ball last week.
No.
And you're like, okay, are you going to run? Oh, no, Carson's going to drop back again. Okay, fine, whatever, whatever. You know,
I don't think it was sandbagging.
I don't think it was sandbagging.
I think it was trying to get Carson going.
Yeah. There was no reason for Carson to throw the ball that many damn times. Yeah. But I think that, you know, this is the best team that they've seen. I'm talking about Texas going down there, and you got a team that is a viable opponent that is capable of winning. I never going down watching – you know, or talk about Texas this season, I'd never thought any of these teams that they played could beat them. We talked about it last week. We said they're going to walk the dog on Oklahoma.
They've had two games that we've actually talked about because they were against ranked opponents.
And we said they're going to beat the hell out of Michigan.
We said the same thing on Friday both times.
Yeah.
Texas is just in a different class than these guys.
Yeah.
And they went out and did it. They went out and showed it both times.
They're going to beat the hell out of both of those teams because they're that damn good.
And they've done what they've been supposed to do. I think they're the only team in the country thus far because, again, they haven't played anybody at their level yet. They're the only team in the country thus far that's kind of done what they've been supposed to do against every single team.
Beat the hell out of people.
Because even the other good teams have had little, like, squeakers against mediocre opponents. That tends to be because you can't play Georgia every week.
Right.
Luckily for you. That tends to be an indicator of national champions, though.
Hell yeah,
man. You beat Colorado State by 50, and you rest your guys in the second half.
That's what they do, man. Yeah.
Beat Louisiana Monroe by 50, and you rest your guys in the second half.
But that's why, I mean, even coming into the season, we both were like, Texas is a whole damn problem. They are because of what Sark has done, where he's coming from, and where he's built, where SEC games and national championship games are won but always overlooked. Right there, them big uglies, the ones that are in three-point stance and go off and fire off on each other. You got to have a good quarterback. You got to have skill.
Sure.
Yes, you do.
Sure.
But them dudes that be right there with them hand in the dirt, then that's where you win.
The two things I was most worried about with Texas because of what they lost was the interior of that defensive line because they lost NFL dudes.
Yes.
Like genuinely great college, potentially great NFL-level players. They replaced him.
Yep.
They replaced him with guys that are just as good. And then the receiving core. I mean, the receiving core is all in the NFL now. And they went out and got guys from everywhere else. And they might be better than they were last year at the receiver position. And that's why at the beginning of the year, I was like, I don't know. I got to see it. I got to see these
guys.
They got
guys. Nice tight end.
They're great.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Texas is the one.
Now I've seen it.
Yeah. Texas is really good. Yeah. They're having a really good season. And I said yesterday, if Georgia plays their best game, they can still lose to them.
Yeah.
But I would damn sure like to see Georgia play their best damn game.
Me too.
Yes.
Me,
I would damn
too,
sure like to see Georgia play their best game.
Georgia's played a couple really good halves.
Yes.
Maybe one really good half. A good 10 minutes against Alabama. And a good half against Clemson.
Yes.
Other than that.
You can see it.
Yeah. But if they do, I don't know. What do you think? 31-28, something like that.
Yep, somewhere like that.
Field goal at the end.
Yep.
Field goal kicker's kind of... He's been doing good? No, he just missed his first one last week. He's all right.
He's all right.
He'll be all right. No, but I think, yeah, I think that game's going to be great. It's going to be great on Saturday. All right, Dave Archer's going to join us next. We'll talk with Arch about the Falcons, as we always do, at 11:40 on Wednesdays. Get his thoughts on the Seahawks coming in on Sunday as well, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 36.
Yeah, man.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Hump day. 20 minutes away from getting back into an NFL no huddle. Just wide receivers getting traded every day, man. Now. Just big name wide receivers getting traded in the league every day. So we'll get to that. We'll also get to more college football conversation at 12:20 as well. But 11:40 on Wednesdays means Dave Archer joins the show. Arch, how are you?
Let's get some peace of mind right here, Arch.
Good fellas. Good to be with you guys. Big one for you, Randy, coming up on Saturday night. Y'all geared up for it? We're going to need a couple catches out of you on Saturday night.
Well, Dave, I will be at an undisclosed beach watching the game.
Undisclosed. Yeah, nobody can know where Randy is.
Yeah, I'll be at an undisclosed beach watching the game and scaring people that probably don't watch American football.
I like it. So that means you're out of the country. So you're not available to catch any balls for us on Saturday night.
Yeah. No.
There's going to be some people that have never watched a football game before, probably, watching Randy just losing it to that game on Saturday night. I would imagine the last couple of games have given some Falcons fans peace of mind, though, especially offensively. I wonder what stands out to you about the operation over the last two games, Arch.
Well, I think that their ability to do both, Andy, is probably the thing that sticks out most. I think that, you know, sometimes we get caught up in the whole identity concept. You know, what's the identity of this team? And I think if you thought about it and you thought Kirk Cousins coming in and they went out and got a couple of receivers and you start thinking about, well, they're going to throw the football, and they have. And certainly that piece of it has grown. The synergy between receivers and quarterbacks and the offensive line understanding where he is and all that kind of stuff has come together. But I thought that their ability to, you know, backbone it up and go run the football last weekend creates a dilemma. If you're trying to prepare for Atlanta now, you're thinking, okay, well, they're going to throw the ball to the yard. We can pin our ears back and tee off and get after the passer. Then all of a sudden you look up and they bludgeon a team with 200 yards rushing. And we knew those two backs were good. And you had an idea over the last couple of seasons this team could come off the ball and run it, but really hadn't established that. Now all of a sudden you look up and you say, wait a minute, they can run it and throw it. Mm-hmm. And that part you really like. And that creates a major problem, as Randy will tell you. When you try to prepare defensively, you got 3 days to get ready to go. When you start trying to defend the physicality of the run game and then also the finesse and the pieces that go along with the passing game, that makes you ultra dangerous.
Dave, I mean, we always use the phrase, they pay them too, and they pay the other team money and everything like that. But from your standpoint of watching this defense play, what is it about this run defense that's just not where it needs to be for this team to maybe make some noise later on in the season?
Yeah, I think that there was some lack of physicality at the point of attack to a certain extent. I thought Grady and Eddie Goldman and Ruka Roro were really physical at the point of attack. I think even Tiku Graham showed some physicality at the point of attack this last weekend that we hadn't seen. If you go back and look at this last game, I think they gave up 115 yards or 120 yards on the ground. The bulk of that was to obviously Chuba Hubbard. Mm-hmm. And if you even look at further, the bulk of it was in like one drive. Mm-hmm. I think he had like 40 yards rushing in one drive, and that was later in the game. So I think that the numbers, as you begin to look at, are they getting better against the run? I would say they are, but the numbers don't tell you that. I think that Nate Landman being back, mm-hmm. and we talked a little bit about this, I think, on you guys' show last week, he's a stack and shed linebacker where he's going to take blocks on. And at 6'3", 240, 245 pounds, he's taking on those interior linemen, trying to stack them and shed them to plug them. But what it does is there's an object in the way, and it's not guys running around blocks. And some, to a certain extent, I love the way Caden Ellis plays with great speed. I think he runs around blocks a lot, and I think that it creates creases in the defense that if a back's got good vision, they're going to find that crease and cut against wherever he's running. And then he's not the biggest linebacker in the world, so he gets pushed off his spot some. So hopefully that'll continue to develop. Hopefully you can get Troy Anderson back in the near future. He's a bigger linebacker, and some of that will help with some of that interior second-level stuff to create just roadblocks that doesn't give backs free run to the secondary.
Do you think that the way that the carries have been distributed has been by plan, or is that just Tyler Allgeier kind of demanding to get the ball a little bit more by the way that he's played?
Well, if you know Tyler, he doesn't demand anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never seen a more soft-spoken guy that'll just tear you in half when he hits you than Tyler Allgeier. So I think it's just a matter, Andy, of them riding the hot hand. I think that obviously when you see them both in the game at the same time, there's a game plan and an idea of using one to decoy and the other one getting the football or vice versa. And I think that that's part of Zach's plan as it continues to develop during the season. But I think more than anything else, it's just they get on, they find a guy that's got a little bit of a hot hand or a guy that's in some kind of rhythm. And I think we've talked about this before. You know, everybody talks about how backs get stronger as the game goes on. That doesn't happen. Randy will tell you nobody gets stronger as the game goes along. Just which group is getting worn down more. And if you've got a team that can come off the ball and run it, and then you've got a back that can hammer you at the back end of those runs physically, you get worn down even quicker. And backs get in a rhythm. And those two guys sharing the carries, I think they've done a pretty good job of being able to share between the two of them.
I wanted to get your thought process because, I watch all the games, but I'm definitely going to hone in on a tight end, especially if one is from Georgia. And talk to me, Dave, about the addition of Charlie Warner right now, because you've seen some clips of him doing different things as far as going in and double teaming off of a damn three technique and getting up to the damn backer. What is his addition brought to this offense, Dave?
Well, and they went out and got him for that, right, Randy? Yeah. When they went out and they sought him out. He was a guy that out in San Francisco that, you know, really wasn't a pass-catching tight end. But when you started seeing San Francisco run the football the way they do out there, you started seeing some of the things that he was doing to help them run the ball in the perimeter. They're a wide-zone team, too. This is a very similar running style that San Francisco deploys. So when you start thinking about a guy that's a perfect fit to edge block or – as you said, Randy, to come in motion and all of a sudden turn up in the B gap and take on a linebacker or pin a defensive end to create a crease to the inside, Charlie was the perfect fit. And he's not getting any credit other than on the team. I don't know how many people are talking. I know you're talking about him because you talk tight ends. But the dude has been phenomenal in the run game. And I thought some of it showed up even more now that we ran the football with a little bit more decisiveness. It was called more. I think he had 38 running plays called this last game. Gave him even more of an opportunity to showcase what he brings to the table. And to throw on top of that, I thought Kyle Pitts had a better game blocking. I don't know what you saw, Randy, when you looked at the tape, but I thought
head inside.
He was much better. Yeah, I thought he was much better blocking with his hands and stuff like that. It's not something he wants to do, but I think if he's a willing blocker, you know, then he's going to be a little bit better at it. And I thought there was an enthusiasm, and I use that word kind of loosely, an enthusiasm from him to be a part of the blocking scheme. Obviously, he wants to catch the football and make plays, which he did in the game. But I think if he's an enthusiastic guy in the run game, that's going to make them run the ball better. But Charlie Warner's been everything they'd hoped he would be, and I think that the more we get a chance to run it, the more you're going to see what he can do.
What happened on that play with Pitts and Cousins? There's been, you know, miscommunication is what they say. There's been a lot of different dissection of that play. From your perspective, what happened on that play?
The play, you remind me of the play, because I'm thinking about 150.
It's Dave, it's the one down in the red zone when Kyle was single receiver to the left side. And
I think that he, when Kyle came off the ball, it obviously doesn't look like he's running. I think Mark Sanchez commented that he quit running. The ball's not necessarily thrown where he can catch it anyway. I mean, you'd have to be able to run a 4.240 to get to the ball and then have about a 45-inch vertical to go get it. I thought Kurt was inaccurate with the throw. I think Kyle anticipated the one-on-one matchup, but I think he thought it was going to be more of a jump ball at about the goal line or the 2 yards deep in the end zone. I think that's what he was anticipating with his matchup. And so they just were completely on the wrong page. I think that, you know, for some reason, Kirk thought back pylon. I think he made an error in judgment there as to how to get the ball to Kyle. And Kyle might not have been running quite as hard as he should have been.
Right.
So I think it's kind of both guys.
Dave, tell me about this Seattle team. Obviously, we talked earlier this week, about these receivers. They got three dudes that can go get it, Dave. And we know Geno is a better athlete than most people think he is. But tell me about this team as far as their offense and defensive schemes.
Yeah, it's a great receiver core, as you talked about. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Smith and Jigba, those guys can all go get the football. Jake Bobo is a guy that's kind of come on.
Yeah, man.
Caught some balls, too, out of Duke. So 6'4", 210-pound wide receiver. So they've got some guys that can go get the football. Geno's playing at a really high level. Now, I think that their one Achilles heel is they have not run the ball extremely well. And that's really kind of a mystery because I think Kenneth Walker's a really good player, and he's a good receiver out of the backfield too. So there's that piece of it. Zach Charbonnet is a good receiver out of the backfield. So they'll throw the ball to the backs. But this is a team that's decidedly lean towards the passing game. Obviously, they lead the league in throwing the football. They're doing a great job in converting, and they're converting plays on first and second down into other first downs. They're averaging about 22, 23 first downs a game, which leads the league or is in the top five in the league at keeping you on the field. They're pretty good in the red zone as well in converting, but their Achilles heel a little bit is protecting the passer. When you throw the ball as much as they have, they've given up, the fourth most sacks in the league. Geno's moves around enough, but he's not necessarily a guy that's going to break you down in the run game. So if there was ever a team you'd hope you could maybe get off the schneid and rush the passer a little bit, maybe this might be that team with only five sacks. I know it's a paltry number. Atlanta needs to – and we're having to blitz a lot to try to get home. So that lends itself to a problem as well. If you're going to come with pressure, you know, especially zone pressure, which we've used a lot of, these veteran quarterbacks are finding holes in the zone to complete. So it'll be imperative that Atlanta offensively plays well to kind of take some of the heat off of what Geno's going to put on our defense.
Hey, Arch, if you were Clark Phillips and you had that interception late in the game, would you have scored a touchdown?
It depends on what my coach Listen, I got some inside information on that. I asked Jerry Gray about that. Jerry, I mean, you were a number one draft pick at corner. Would you have taken back for a touchdown? It's your first opportunity to make a play. He said, well, if he wants to play more, he'll have to listen to me. And he listened to me there. That was something that they had discussed.
Whatever, Dave.
Late in the football game, you got to go down there so the defense doesn't have to go back on the field. The reason Jerry told me that story is because they had a guy do that very same thing when Jerry was early in his career. They intercepted a pass, ran it back for a touchdown. Not Jerry, but another player. They had to go back on the field in the final minute and a half of the game, and the free safety blew his knee in the last 90 seconds of the game and was lost for the season. Jerry was emphatic about that, about that's what you're supposed to do. So if there's anything that Clark Phillips did, unselfish certainly,
yes.
But he's following the instructions.
He listened. But the question was to you, Dave, would you have done it?
Well, first of all, I'm not going to make that play, you know, and I don't like defensive players anyway, so I'm not going to make that play, you know, jump that play. If I had a chance to throw a touchdown pass at the end of the game and the coach told us to kneel down on it, I'd throw the touchdown
there
pass.
You go. There we go. We'll equate that to both ways. We'll equate it both ways.
You going
to
ask him about the 6-0?
Oh, yeah. I got a great win last weekend, Dave, up there in Morgantown. Your boys.
Yeah, you badmouthed my guys.
I did not badmouth anybody. But the damn Cyclones, Dave. I mean,
they're 6-0, ninth in the country. Yeah, we got UCF coming in this weekend.
Ooh.
Hopefully take care of that business in Ames. And then things start to get a little bit more difficult. We've got Utah on the road, got to play K-State. So we'll see how it happens.
Arch, we appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Dave.
Thank you.
All right, Randy, go Dogs, and don't hurt anybody in that third world country you're going to.
I'll do my best.
Dave Archie there, Falcons radio analyst, former Falcons quarterback. A lot of good stuff there. The Seahawks offensive line, like he's talking about, there's a reason why they don't run the ball very well, because the offensive line's not good.
Yeah. How many Sykes is out there for them, Andy?
For who?
For the Falcons. I need four Sykes.
Come on, man. Stop. Come on. I'm not going to say any crazy stuff like if the Falcons do this, then I'm going to do this. If the Falcons get four sacks, I'll be very happy.
Okay.
You know? Like, you get crazy people on the radio, they're like, if the Falcons get four sacks, I'll shave my head.
Oh, wait,
I'm not going to shave my head.
I'm not doing nothing to my body that I can't control the outcome of why I got to do it to my body.
Yeah, if I got four sacks, I would shave my head.
You get four sacks, I mean.
Sirianni shaved his head.
He looks, I don't know.
I feel like any coach that has like a, like a weird grooming overreaction to a game. Like, remember when Arthur Smith cut off his mustache?
Yes, I do.
That's when I knew Arthur Smith wasn't cut out for it.
Yes, I'm with you right
there. I was like, he panicked.
But we're superstitious. You know, people.
Panic shave.
We're superstitious by nature, man.
You can't panic shave, though.
You don't think so?
You got to have, nah, you got to have more composure than that.
A panic shave.
Don't panic shave. You shave for the right reasons.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. But, I mean, maybe he realized that mustache was just not working.
Was it better without
it? I don't know. I was just going to say
that. Yeah, it's
He just got – he's real oily. Real oily.
I just think the eyes, man.
You saw him more oily without the mustache.
That's true. That's more face to see.
Yeah.
That's more – he needs a beard is what he needs, a big, thick one. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle, kick off the noon hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.